It's good to be with you again. Count it a privilege. I trust that God will grant graciously to us in his word. We're in Galatians, the second chapter. A scripture well known to Christians. The Apostle Paul says in the 20th verse, Galatians, the second chapter, the 20th verse, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I am crucified with Christ, or I have been crucified with Christ. There are some scriptures that are full of comfort, and there are others that are full of direction, and there are some that are so deeply challenging, we don't always apply them. And here we have this well-known scripture. I remember as a small boy being like those who were out at the front this morning, and I had to take a verse beginning with I. And so I took, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And when my father heard that I had that text, he said, can you? Can you? Well, I'd never thought of it. I needed a text beginning with I, and I'd got one. Well, I thought, can I do all things through Christ who strengthens me? So I thought, maybe I should choose another one. It won't be quite so difficult if I'm asked any questions. So I thought about, I am crucified with Christ. I mean, that began with I. Did I know what I was talking about? Did I know what I was quoting? Christians, this is something that causes every one of us, if we think deeply enough, it causes every one of us to feel guilty. It challenges every one of us if we really search ourselves and our motives. Can we truly say that great big capital I has been crucified? Has self really been put to death? Every one of us will know a measure of guilt if we really work at this text. The apostle said, I am crucified with Christ. Self-esteem, self-love. It is said that if we are in a group of people having a photograph taken, that when we are shown a copy of the photograph, the first person we look for is always ourselves. Is my tie straight? Is my jacket straight? How do I look? And then, having had a fair look at ourselves and how we got on in the photograph, we deign to look at the others, see how they got on. Well, whether that's true or not, I don't know. But self is our own worst enemy. All that self can do cannot be measured. Thomas A. Kempis, he wrote to his own son, and this is what he wrote. Know this, that love of yourself will do you more harm than anything else in all the world. Know this, that love of yourself will do you more harm than anything else in the whole world. How incredible. Well, the devil tells us that it's other people that's causing problems. Him himself, he's causing us problems. Oh, no, 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 no. Self. You see, self is the sovereign ruler of the old nature. The old nature has a ruler, and it is self. Self is the captain. Self is the champion. And self is the drum major of the old nature. There is a hymn by Johann Lavater, O Jesus Christ, grow thou in me. And in many respects, it's a lovely hymn, but there is a line in that hymn that I never sing. I don't know how you feel about it, but there's a line in that hymn, and it is, "Make this poor self grow less and less." Well, I never sing that because I don't believe it. For a long time now, I haven't believed that there's anything poor about self. No. Self. Self is the thing, of course, that stands out for us. And we take care of it. And we admire it. Make this poor self grow less and less. The hymn writer says, "Not what I am, O Lord, but what thou art. That alone can be my soul's true rest." Self is that fallen, haughty thing that came out of your mother's womb and strives for first place and loves first place and fights for first place. Why, you see it in babies, don't you? First, me first. You see it in the playground. You see it in the office. You see it in the home. And tragically, you see it in the church. Self. Oh, that God would help us. Who was it in the Garden of Eden that took a stand against Almighty God? Self? Who was it that said, "I'll be king here"? Self. Who was it that said, "Despite all that I've been told and warned about, despite all I've been told"? Who said, "I will eat"? I will eat. Who said that? Self. Self. Here, you see, and who was it that plunged mankind into the abyss of disobedience? Self. Just self, that's all. And that's why yourself needs to be saved. That's why Jesus came into the world to save sinners, because they were dominated by self and they even took on God. The sinner believes that self is better than God, knows more than God. God said in his word, he says, you must be born again. What does self say? No, I don't. No, I don't. In God's word, except you be converted, you'll perish. No. Not me. Self knows better than God. Self contradicts God's holy word. The sinner, the unsaved sinner, lives in a world where self dominates. And you're here this morning, my friend, and you're unsaved. Why? Because you know better than God. When God tells you to repent, what does self say? I'm not that bad. I'm not. You might talk to ISIS and those sort of people, but me? That I need to repent? I'm as good as those that go to church. I see some of them. Why, you do, and you're right. But you're not good enough for God. You need to have your sins forgiven. You need a Savior. Self needs to be delivered from itself. And what about Christians? Wouldn't we long for it if God said, wouldn't we enjoy looking forward to it if God said, "In a month's time, I'm going to send revival"? You've prayed for revival. You'd love to have revival. In a month's time, I'm going to send revival. Now, it appears that God is not sending us revival at the moment. Not at all. And we have no promise that it's going to come in a month. We wonder sometimes, do we not, why we don't have revival? Well, I'm sure there are many reasons. But self among God's people is surely one of them. We're so taken up with ourselves that we're not taken up with God. We want a closer walk with God. And we pray for it sometimes. But in our living, self dominates us. In our quiet times, we want a more precious time. Is it self that needs to be dealt with? The Lord help us. Well, self is that domineering tyrant that loves to have the uppermost seat. And to help promote it in its sinful way, self is often gentlemanly. It is often religious. It's often very respectable. And self would hardly recognize anything that the preacher is saying because self is so accommodated. Well, self is so deceitful, devilishly deceitful, it gives every impression of humility. The Pharisees gave every impression of humility. The people would recognize it, but our Lord Jesus Christ knew what was in the heart. The Apostle Paul said, as well as saying, "I am crucified with Christ," he had to say, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" Now, I know some people say, well, that's the Apostle Paul before he was a Christian. Well, it's a strange thing. In the same chapter, the Apostle, he says, "I delight in the law of God after the inward man. That's what I really want." My friend, you never heard an unsaved man or woman say, "I delight in the law of God after the inward man." Not at all. Not at all. Someone has said, in order to be noticed, self will even crawl. In order to be noticed, self will even crawl. God help us. God help us. You know, is anybody looking at me? Am I being recognized? Am I being thanked? Did they know it was me? Did they know it was me that did it? Here's Mrs. Green, and she's doing the flowers, or she's doing something in the church, you know. And she hears Mrs. White being thanked. Well, Mrs. White was only standing there, and she just sort of shook a few leaves. But she's hearing Mrs. White be thanked. Oh, what a challenge to us. What a challenge, wanting to be known, wanting to be known. Who does God dwell with? Isaiah 57, "For thus says the high and lofty one that inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place." Aye, we know that. With him also, that is, of a contrite and humble spirit. Am I such a person? You know, our Christian service can be used to display self. How often have those of us who are preachers, how often have we used a pulpit to display self? What a searching thing it is to say, "I am crucified." What a searching business it is to get on with it and to labor for it to be true in our lives. "I am crucified." If a man says that and he means it, it's one of the most far-reaching statements any Christian can make. I am crucified. Aye. You remember our Lord Jesus Christ. He sacrificed self in order to save us. Before the cross, self was put to death. Do you remember what he said in the Garden of Gethsemane? "Not my will." Here is the very Son of God. "Not my will." In all the tumultuous matters that come to us in life, in our families, in our work, and in all that we do. Oh, for us to be able to say and to mean it like the Lord Jesus, "Not my will be done. Not my will be done. I'm going to a meeting and there's a decision has got to be made. Not my will be done." Oh, of course, sometimes we are right and sometimes we're wrong. Think of the potential of self. Think of its potential. Self-defense and self-protection and self-promotion and self-awareness and self-indulgence and self-seeking and self-consciousness and self-preservation and self-aggrandizement. And those twins, those terrible twins, self-love and self-pity. There are thousands of people today suffering, maybe in their own homes, maybe they're suffering because they allow self-pity. It's a killer. and self-love. When we are called upon to be lovers of God, self-love. Well, there are notable exceptions like self-sacrifice, and there are some outstanding examples, but rare. What's the sinner's position? Oh, how he magnifies himself with the very thought of it. Self-righteousness. Not having a righteousness which is of the law. Oh, the sinner knows nothing about that. Self-righteousness. Dear friends, if we knew this morning the aggregate of self-love that there is just from this congregation, all of us, preacher included, how would we feel? Have we sacrificed self? Then there are the tests of self. The tests of self. We believe we have crucified self. And then somebody insults us. Somebody insults us. Or we're left out. Or we're criticized. Or we are opposed. Or in some way or other, we are provoked. Oh, how self rises. How self rises. Self-defense indeed. I am crucified with Christ. Well, he's left us an example, has he not? In 2 Peter, the second chapter, when he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. What a self-sacrificing person was our Lord Jesus. And all in the behalf that we wretched sinners might be saved. What did he say were the terms of discipleship? Well, he said, if any man will come after me, let him profess faith. Well, he didn't say that just then. Or let him be baptized. No, he didn't say that. Or let him join the church. No. Or did he say, let him engage in evangelism? Now, all these things are notable things and good things. But when our Lord Jesus Christ gave the terms of discipleship, he didn't mention any of them. Oh, says somebody, I must join the door-to-door team. I must join the open-air team. Yes, well, the terms of discipleship, don't mention them. Laudable though they are, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. That's the test. That's the test and the terms of discipleship. Much easier to say than do. Much easier to preach than do. Let a preacher following his sermon, let him be criticized. We're not above criticism. You may say, well, I'm going to put you to the test this morning. I'm going to give you a grilling at the door. But let him be criticized. Is everything surrendered? How difficult. I'll give you a very down-to-earth illustration. Often, as I've said, we can do Christian work to display ourselves. I was given on an occasion a task to which I did not look forward. I was, along with another fellow, deputed to go and speak to the church organist. Well, our church organist was good. He was one of the best. Doubtless he was. But this other fellow and I were asked to go and speak to the organist. And we were asked to say, could you bear in mind before the service that we're about to worship? And could you maybe just play for us a few quiet, well-known hymns to prepare us for worship? Well, he had his answer ready straight away. He said, well, I couldn't do that. So we said to him, why ever not? Oh, he said, well, a visiting organist may come into the congregation and he may think that's all I can play. How blatant. I'm not here to help people to worship. I'm here to show people what I can do. He would give you Handel for a couple of hours or Bach or whatever. But he, by his own lips, he said he couldn't do it. He couldn't play a simple hymn tune because somebody would think that's all he could do. Oh, that God would help us. That God would help us. I overheard a few ministers speaking some weeks ago, and I heard one of them say, we've had 3 baptisms. And another one said, oh, good, good, praise God for that. And we've had 2 additions to the church. Oh, praise God for the baptisms and the additions. But I didn't hear any of the ministers say, we've had 3 people who evidently have denied self. You never hear such language. Such words are not spoken. And yet here is the Apostle Paul saying, I am crucified. And here is the Lord Jesus saying the terms of the discipleship. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. There's a saying, is there not? While you have self, you don't need any other enemy. Self will do all that is necessary to crush you and to break you. How little we meditate on that. Proverbs 3 verse 7, it says, be not wise in your own eyes. Opinions are usually based on our own wisdom. You remember how John the Baptist, he said, he must increase. As he was preaching about our Lord Jesus Christ, he said, he must increase. We all agree with that. We all agree with that. He must increase. It's the next little bit that's the problem. I must decrease. I must decrease. That's not quite as easy as wanting Jesus to increase and preaching that Jesus will increase and praying that Jesus will increase and be glorified. John the Baptist said, I must decrease. The godly Samuel Rutherford, great preacher of the gospel, writer. You'll have read Rutherford, you'll have read, many of you, his diary or part of his diary. What godliness there was. And then he was taken from his church and he was sent up to Aberdeen. And he was put under what we would call today house arrest. And there he was in prison. And he wrote in 1637, Oh, that I were free from prison. No, he didn't write that. This godly man wrote, oh, that I were free from myself. What did he know about it? What did he know about self? He must have known something of the tragedies that occur in people's lives because self comes and ruins them. Sometimes ruins their testimony. Sometimes ruins their Christian service. It's done for the sake of self. The man who crucifies himself puts self on the cross, crucified with Christ. What does the Lord require, says the prophet Micah, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly? Well, we can't walk humbly until self is dethroned. And is there anything harder? Anything harder than demoting self? Self will fight day and night for dominance. Controversy is fueled by selfism. Controversy is fueled by selfism. These controversies that happen in churches. People come to meetings with their opinion, and woe betide anybody that has a different opinion. How careful we have to be. How careful. There are divisions and all manner of problems in churches, and it's self. Self's doing it. You remember those words which are written in Romans 15 concerning our Lord Jesus. How they challenge us. Can you think of them? Can you think of those words? ECPNH. Some of you have got it. Some of you have got it. I can see by the look on your faces. Unless you're hoodwinking me. E, C, P, N-H. Even Christ pleased not himself. I am a follower of Christ. I am a follower of Christ. I say, I am a Christian. Why does self have so much dominance in me? I am crucified. Well, I'm supposed to be. I'm supposed to be. Well, you say, I've got enough problems. I didn't come to church to be depressed. This is all very negative. All very negative. Just a moment. We're not quite finished yet. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. I live, says the apostle. Oh, there's nothing negative about this as far as the outcome is concerned. No. He says, the life which I now live, having been crucified, walking with Christ as nearly as I can, and thinking of this crucifying of self, the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He's got a sanctified self now, a God-centered self, a spirit-filled self, a heaven-bound self, an others first self. What a life! What a life! All that and much more. The hymn writer says, I would not change my blessed estate for all the world calls good or great. And my dear Christian friend, your blessed estate is not merely that your sins are forgiven, but that you live the crucified life. I am crucified, or I have been crucified with Christ. My sins are forgiven. How wonderful. Let me live in the light of it. Let me live with such thanksgiving for it. That day by day, I will be able to say, I am crucified with Christ. Do you ever imagine what it would be like to be unsaved? Do you? I think of it sometimes. I think of it more than I would have done, except we had a deacon. And he would always speak about this. And he would say, Brother, we can't remember what it was like to be unsaved, can we? We can't remember what it was like. And then he would say, do you remember? He did remember. What's it like to be unsaved? You know, to have worldly ways and worldly friends and worldly ambitions. No fear of God. But what is their great plea? We are free. We don't want to be taken up with all this going to church and reading the Bible and all that business. We're free. Aye. And what a freedom. What a wretched freedom. Freedom to do your own thing. Freedom to resist God. Freedom to trample on the blood of Christ. Freedom to go to hell. A wretched freedom. But a Christian has been freed in order that self might be crucified. What grace. It's the way of surrender. And the way of peace. The way of harmony. Get a group of people together. And all set upon the crucifixion of self. And what harmony you have. What harmony you have. Get a group of people. And they are all set upon having their own way. And what chaos you have. No matter where it is. Well, it involves resolve. Resolve. It involves thinking about it every day and praying about it. It involves application. We say to Paul, the life that you now live, which in your letters you're commending to other people, how would you summarize the life that you now live? And he would say, well, it's the difference between I was and I am. There were a few I was's in his life, as he well knew. I was injurious. I was a persecutor. I was a blasphemer. I was. But now, I am. I am crucified with Christ. Maybe the best that we could get to this morning would be, I want to be. I want to be. I want to be more crucified to self. And I want to be more crucified with Christ. What a verse it is. And what a challenge it is. And what a searchlight it brings into our lives. Oh, that God would help us, moment by moment, to seek to live it. Now we'll sing our closing hymn.